Charles to run to the near side. He's got the open field.
He's going
to
be hit and obliterated.
Sacked by Tom Mahaly.
Wants to throw for Bowie
at the 30, at the 20.
Hey fans, welcome to Chiefs Live, presented by Midwest Four Dealers. I'm BJ Kissel with Kendall Gammon, talking about the Chiefs' upcoming game against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. Kendall, after a big win by the Chiefs on Sunday against the Raiders, they head to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers team, which you have a lot of familiar faces from your 4 years playing with the Steelers.
I do. Dick LeBeau, the defensive coordinator for the Steelers, he was there in that same capacity when I was there. Also, you had Jerry Olsofsky, a teammate of mine. He's a defensive assistant. And then Carnell Lake, an all-pro defensive back. He works with the defensive backs as well. And then on the defensive line, John Mitchell, the assistant head coach, he was there as well. So a lot of history, I guess, with them.
Let's talk about what the Chiefs are going to see on Sunday, particularly from the Steelers offense. We'll start there. And there's a lot of firepower, it seems like, every skill position for them. And let's start most obvious position at quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger is having a fantastic season, number two in the NFL right now with 4,415 yards passing, 29 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. What's made him so good this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, 67% completion percentage. So he's doing it all, like you just said. And I think the main thing is when you look at it, he's throwing the ball to Antonio Brown, who's number one in catches, number two or three in yards. He's about to become the all-time leader in Steelers history for both catches and yards. The yards he already owns, the catches will be over Hines Ward. And the interesting thing is he and Ben Roethlisberger, they've connected 11 times this year for touchdowns. That's the most ever in the history of the Steelers. So it's pretty amazing. And the fact that he can also throw the ball to Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield as well. And I think that's the thing. To me, BJ, what I see, though, is how he stands in the pocket. He stays there. And he'll take a few sacks, but he hasn't been sacked that much. But he will just stand in the pocket and feel like he's going to get protected and deliver it as he gets hit. Sometimes he'll move mostly to his left, and he'll extend the play, and he does a good job of finding people on the run.
That's one thing I think that stood out about Roethlisberger, as opposed to any other quarterback, really, is he's a big guy.
Yes.
But he is pretty nimble, and it's very, very hard to take him down. And not just because of his size, although that's a huge part of it, but he's a lot more finesse, or whatever you want to call it, inside the pocket. The way that he moves around pressure has been very impressive. But you mentioned Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield. Well, when they hand him the ball, he's been pretty successful too.
Yes.
1,278 yards, number two in the NFL. He has been fantastic for this team. What makes this rushing offense so successful for the Steelers?
You know what? I think that big offensive line has really found themselves a little bit. When you look at the offense of the Steelers, you're going to get a lot of one back where you're going to have a wing on either side. You're going to have a tight end in Heath Miller. Then you're also going to have Will Johnson on the other side. And probably at least once a quarter, you're going to get that counter G move where DeCastro goes from the right to the left. You're going to have Johnson on his hip, and you're going to slip him up inside there. I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell. And the guy is just, he has the uncanny knack, I believe, of being able to get to the line of scrimmage, cut a couple steps to the left or right, and then get vertical again. And he's tough. He's low to the ground. 6'1", 244. If you were ever going to draw up a running back, I think that's it. And in case you talked about his running prowess, his catching prowess, he's made up yards of scrimmage this year, 33% of the offense. So he is huge.
You talked about the double tight end formation,
yes,
what the Steelers like to do. What the Chiefs' defense has seen quite a bit over the past few games, and I think the first Raiders game kind of showed a blueprint of teams going tackle over tackle against this Chiefs' defense, is the two tight end set from the Steelers, do you think that's more along the lines of what they would do, or do they have a tackle over tackle set? Because it's been kind of the blueprint for how to run against this Chiefs' defense.
You know what? Certainly you always go back and look at the previous three games and see what's going on. From my aspect, what I think that the Steelers will do is decide to do what got them there, and they'll continue to do not the two tight ends on the line per se, but off the line of scrimmage. And I don't know. It's interesting. I think when it comes down to it, Todd Haley does want to throw the ball. And to me, getting the ball to Le'Veon Bell out in the open, that's something that opens everything else up as well. And Antonio Brown now, what he's doing, I mean, it's epic proportions, quite honestly.
One thing that the Steelers' offense has been fantastic at this season is picking up chunk yardage on first down. They currently lead the NFL in averaging 6.5 yards per first down attempt. Now, that helps them in third down situations, obviously get third and manageable. When you're leading the NFL in amount of yardage on first down, it's going to make the rest of the offense pretty successful.
Yeah, there's not a lot more that I can say about that, which is when you put yourself in second and short or third and short, it opens up the playbook completely.
When we talk about Antonio Brown, the receiver, leading the NFL, you already touched on him. What do you think the Chiefs will try and do defensively to try to at least he's a guy, you can't stop him. But what can they do to kind of corral him or at least slow him down?
It's going to be interesting because Mike Tomlin this week, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, was quoted as saying they've tried everything. And quite frankly, it hasn't slowed him down. I think you will bracket him. You'll put somebody over top. You'll get into him. Try to get him off his ground, which is to get into him so he doesn't get a free release. That being said, he's such a threat to go deep that it seems like those 10-yard outs for him are almost taking candy from a baby because you're protecting for the long play because this guy, he is a touchdown waiting to happen.
Chiefs defense has their hands full, but this is also a Chiefs defense that has yet to allow a 300-yard passer this season. The Steelers come into this game averaging 306 yards per game in the passing. Something's got to give there.
And this is a team in Pittsburgh that has scored a lot of points, and so it'll be interesting to see when you look at them. Nine games, they've scored 27 or more points. They're 8-1 in those nine games, so this is a big play offense. It's interesting, though, if you look at it through the season, there's a couple weeks where Ben threw six touchdowns 2 weeks in a row, and then other weeks where they flat stunk it up. But right now, they're playing very good football.
And they are playing for a playoff spot. If the Steelers win on Sunday, they clinch a playoff spot. The Chiefs will still have more work to do if they win on Sunday, but that is a must-win situation for the Chiefs if they want to get into the playoffs. Yeah. It'll be a big one.
Playing at Arrowhead Stadium can be tough for opposing teams. But on the first football Sunday since 9/11, the Chiefs' kingdom rose to its feet to cheer the visiting New York Giants. Their support didn't stop with a standing ovation. Fans passed the fireman's boot around Arrowhead, collecting over $220,000 in donations for relief efforts. The Chiefs matched that mark for a grand donation of over $450,000. The largest single-day outpouring of support by a group of fans ever.
There's no stadium like Arrowhead on game day, but it was different on that day. And I promise you, every person in that stadium that day said, home of the brave, rather than home of the Chiefs at the end of the national anthem.